Hello, happy site owners, and welcome to the Blockade Tips Tuesday podcast for December 12th, 2017. And I'm your host, Mayanna. Tips this week include the SEO workshop session outline posted, the new Facebook group for DIY SEO members, all the new email templates for Blockade, a special thank you to Denise Waitman for a great visibility challenge, just released video of Wharton's Gutenberg presentation at WordCamp US, why Jason Pollock of Caldera Forms is so excited about Gutenberg, a proposed start on a plugin compatibility check for Gutenberg, the economic impact of Gutenberg rollout on devs, designers, and users, and how to avoid Gutenberg transition chaos, why you shouldn't wait on Gutenberg to design your next theme. And plugins are getting an active install graph in the repo. What's in the newest 5.9 version of Yoast SEO? A glimpse at all the Google SEO changes for November. What Sprout Social acquiring Simply Measure means for you and me. The Moz SEO reader survey results are in, and they're very interesting. And stats on the rise of mobile and voice activated search. So let's dive in. In Blockade Happenings, I want to thank everyone who took advantage of the hosting and theme deals that ran from Black Friday to Cyber Monday. Now those are over, but you can still get in on big savings for Blockade classes and services, including the expanded DIY SEO course that now includes the live SEO workshop, and savings on site audits, and a huge discount on webmaster training courses. And I'm delighted to announce that I've posted the session outline for the upcoming SEO workshops. There will be at least 8 sessions, and we'll expand those if we need to. Plus, we'll be taking more time for each session, and they'll run about 2 to 3 weeks apart instead of just one big week in between. You know, that's the whole reason I combined the workshops into the DIY SEO course. We need to be able to take more time for each topic and go deeper. So, even if you attended the one back in March, you'll definitely want to come again this time around. You'll find the outline below the specials page or in your member dashboard. And I'm also delighted to announce the creation of a new Facebook group for those DIY SEO members. You know, it's already open and folks are joining in with us. So if you are a member of the DIY SEO course, look for an email that I sent you on Sunday with the link to the Facebook group. You'll also find it at the top of your member dashboard area in the courses. Oh, and I'm so tickled about this. I want to send a huge thank you and shout out to Jean Biggerstaff, a Biggerstaff Virtual Business Assistant, for all the new Blockade email templates she created for me. I wanted to radically clean them up and simplify them so they would sail through all email clients, and she made super quick work of the new templates. They are exactly what I was hoping for. So, Blockade new subscribers and everyone in all the different memberships, be watching for the new shiny templates to start coming your way. Now, the only template that we left the same was the RSS email feed that sends you my blog post. It's already pretty slick. And just for clarification, when you subscribe to Blockade News, which is the newsletter I send when there's important news and special discounts, you probably left the box checked to also get all of my blog posts. Tips Tuesday is one of those posts. It's also a podcast. It's weekly site success news and tips you can use, but it's not a weekly newsletter. I don't share Blockade news publicly because it has exclusive deals for subscribers and secret scoops on what's happening. So now you know. And I've had folks contact me that they want to read the blog feed in a feed reader so they can unsubscribe from just the post. There are 2 checkboxes for unsubscribing, one for Blockade news and one for posts. So be careful which one you check. You don't want to miss all those Blockade news special deals. And I want to send a big shout out to visibility expert Denise Waitman and thank her for a super 5-day challenge last week. Y'all may have seen some new quick videos and posts on my social media accounts with an odd little hashtag. Those were for that challenge. And Denise helped us get started with repurposing our content in 5 different ways. Now, one of those was Medium. I grabbed up the Blogaid name 3 years ago just to sequester it, and I was stunned to find that I had 1,000 followers, even though I had never posted a thing there. Now, I've heard that Medium's popularity has waned a bit this year, but it is so crazy easy to repurpose content there that I think I'll get the good out of having so many eyeballs receiving notifications there when I make a new post. Hey, more eyeballs is what it's all about, right? Now, that little free challenge is over, but Denise has a 7-day challenge that's always open. I never miss one of her free challenges, so go check it out and you'll see why. All right, y'all, that's the news from around here. Let's jump into this week's tips. In WordPress tips, Gutenberg is all the buzz this week. And I have lots of posts for you on the conversations happening since WordCamp US. First, you may recall in my special edition of Tips Tuesday last week with a wrap-up of my WordCamp US adventure that I mentioned Morton's presentation on Friday that helped open everyone's eyes about just how powerful Gutenberg really is. Well, he's posted over on LinkedIn with his slides from the presentation and the video of the presentation that was just released, so you can get a glimpse at it yourself. Then, jump on over to Matt's State of the Word address for a live demo of Gutenberg 2. And obviously, I wasn't the only one super excited about Gutenberg after WordCamp US. Josh Pollack of Caldera Forms came back from Nashville all excited about it too. He has a very nice write-up about why he's all aboard the Gutenberg train. And there are multiple discussions going on all over the advanced WordPress and dev boards I follow concerning how we're going to make the transition to Gutenberg as painless and fast as possible. Now, one such is on GitHub, and it focuses squarely on the plugins. It addresses making a way to begin categorizing plugins by modern, legacy, and abandoned. Honestly, I think this type of project is long, long overdue, and I'm glad transitions into things like PHP 7 and Gutenberg are making it happen. And then Bridget Willard has a nice op-ed post with her concerns about how Gutenberg's rollout may economically impact theme and plugin devs, as well as end users, including corporate users. Now, I think this post really sums up the buzz among most devs. They want a slower pace where users are concerned. They don't want Gutenberg to be the default anything right away, and to give time for devs to learn Gutenberg and make necessary changes. They also want time to educate users and do lots of testing before putting Gutenberg on a live production site. But, as Bridget states in her article, we can't hold the transition time open indefinitely. Devs and site caretakers won't be able to keep everything backwards compatible for more than a year or two, and I think that's a good thing. While we don't wish broken sites on anyone, we do want more site owners to get with today's standards and be ready for what's next. Now, as a Blogaid follower, you've had the opportunity to stay ahead of the curve on all site ownership changes this past year. So count yourself super smart if you have chosen to get the following items checked off your to-do list. First, a site audit to get your speed and security issues taken care of. And then upgrading your host package to PHP 7. And then a real and full conversion to HTTPS with no host trickery or plugins. And then using a premium theme framework like Genesis instead of a page builder with shortcodes. And finally, regularly following Tips Tuesday to stay on top of site success changes. And you know I'm going to help you bypass all of the Gutenberg and WordPress transition hoo-ha too right now. It looks like when Gutenberg rolls into the core in the 5.0 update, we're going to switch to the Classic Editor plugin and keep going just as we are now. Or maybe that plugin will be rolled into the core and we'll have an option to use it. We're going to be patient. We won't try to use Gutenberg on our current themes with our current plugins. And then by this time next year, we'll be getting peeks at viable Gutenberg-optimized themes and plugins. And by early 2019, some of us may be ready for a theme revamp to try one of those themes. But the rest of us are going to continue to use what we've got and or not wait on those changes to do the theme revamp we need now. Now, I'm certainly not going to wait for Gutenberg. I'll be starting on the redesign of Blogaid in just a few months. My biz focus and offers have changed, and I need a theme that looks more modern and helps me with my conversion points better, and I need that now. So I'm putting my money where my mouth and my advice to you is, and doing what I need to do for my biz today. If you need to start a new site now or revamp your current theme, don't wait. Do what you need to do today. And tell everyone you know. There are millions of site owners that have no clue about PHP 7, HTTPS, or Gutenberg. Start mentioning it to your blogger buddies, including link parties you participate in, Facebook groups, mentor and coaching groups, and every guru you follow who has a group. The next year of transition is going to take a whale of a lot of public education, and that's especially true for the more non-geek, hands-off site owners who are paying either premium hosts or undereducated VAs to look after their sites. Just you mentioning these three things will help open eyes and save folks from being caught unaware when a plugin update breaks their site because their PHP version is too low, or they get an unsecure site warning when Chrome finally rolls out that penalty to everyone that's non-HTTPS, or when their text editor is suddenly replaced by Gutenberg and they have zero idea how to even create a blog post anymore. So I'm asking you to do what you can to help spread the word and get as many folks through this transition as smoothly as possible. In plugin tips. Now, you may remember in the last Tips Tuesday that I reported about a new project called Tide that will evaluate the quality of a plugin's code. Well, seems like even more handy tools are coming to the plugins repo too. Plugins now state how many times they've been downloaded, and that's a nice thing to know. But it looks like they're now including info to show how many active installs a plugin currently has, and then a graph you can see in the advanced view to see its downloads per day plus its active growth. Now, I believe that they're going to count that by how many sites update to newer versions when they're released, but don't quote me on that because all this is still in the development stage and kind of new. Now, what's really great about this type of info is we can see if a plugin is still popular or not. It may have had hundreds of thousands of downloads in its lifetime, but if it starts waning in popularity, the number of active installs will start going down. Now, if you want to see those graphs, go to the plugins repo page. Then, in the right sidebar under the version and last update type info, you'll see an advanced view link. Click on that to see the new plugin stack graphs. And I've got a link for you for that page on the Yoast SEO plugin. When I checked Sunday night, they had 1.3 million downloads just last week. Jeez! You go, Yoast. In SEO tips, speaking of, the latest release of the Yoast SEO plugin introduces a thing called WP SEO Add Open Graph Additional Images Filter to allow additional Open Graph images to be added at a low priority. Now, I thought this may be a hidden image Pinterest thing, but it's not. And thanks so much to social media strategist Meg Bateman, who informed me, quote, additional Open Graph images are not at all having to do with Pinterest. It's because of recent changes Facebook has made with link previews. Do not set your long pin images as Open Graph images. Facebook wants 1,200 by 630 images for Open Graph. And Pinterest wants people to use their own data pin media tag for defining pin images. End quote. Now, also in this release with Yoast, your color-coded content analysis is all grouped by color now instead of by topic, with red at the top, which is going to make any issues with that post easier for you to find. Oh, and this is big. SEO is not a set it and forget it thing. If you want to get an idea of just how many changes Google makes a month, go scan this monthly report over on SEO Roundtable. 150 tweaks a month is not unusual. Well, okay, y'all, it's official now. You may recall me reporting on this upcoming acquisition about a month ago where Sprout Social was going to acquire Simply Measured, and it concerns me a little. We now have a company that helps you spread the word on social media, combined with a company that tracks your visitors' movements around the web. Sprout Social is a pretty good company, and I hope this doesn't come back to bite them, and maybe it will have the opposite effect and bring them more clients due to better analytics. Oh, and this was an interesting read. Moz SEO invited its readers to take a survey that started with identifying their SEO role with the company and what their biggest struggles were. And I wasn't shocked at all to see the top struggle. The very marketing folks charged with getting a site to rank well in Google and bring more traffic to the site have a super hard time getting their clients, colleagues, and bosses to understand the value of SEO. Now, their other big complaint was that the industry tactics change too often. That is why it's super duper important for you to go for the long game strategies with SEO instead of trying to game the system for each new thing that comes out. Now, the biggest long-term strategy you can do is to write truly helpful content that folks need to read and want to share. And that's just one of the things we'll be covering in the SEO workshops, because all the keyword research in the world is not going to help you if you have thin content that's no better than anyone else's in your niche. You know, there are several rising SEO ranking factors that we'll be covering in the SEO workshop too, and among them are the rise of mobile search, where viewers are only shown results from mobile optimized sites. Now, another is voice activated search. Now, that's a big one. And we'll be brainstorming ways for you to write the kind of content that works well with voice-activated search. So, if you're a foodie blogger, you may not think you have much of a shot at this because your posts are all pictures and ingredients, and folks really need to see the post, not hear it. And you'd be right. But there are plenty of opportunities for you with voice-activated search that you probably haven't thought of yet, and that will open the door for you to have a shot at getting into the Google Knowledge Graph too. The point is, if you want something you've never had, you're going to have to do something you've never done. And that includes writing some posts specifically for Google. I do it all the time. My first post to hit the Knowledge Graph has remained in my top three posts for 3 years now and still counting. And I have other posts that bring in 75% of my new visitors from Google. That's what it's all about. Getting those new eyeballs. All right, y'all, that's a wrap for this week's Tips Tuesday. If you find these helpful, please do share them with your peeps and tell everybody. And be sure to visit blogaid.net for more tips and resources. And I'll see you online.